Welcome. The sign says welcome. Do you feel welcome? When you walked in the door, did you feel welcome? You should. You should, because you are welcome in this place. I was thinking, what does Sunday kind of represent for me over the last week? I always try to, when I do the welcome, I always try to come up with some, you know, kind of life, something that kind of goes along with life, welcome, you know. And how many have seen the movie? Tom Cruise just came out with a movie, Edge of Tomorrow, Live, Die, Repeat. It's a sci-fi movie. Love it. It's the same thing pretty much, the whole movie, but it's not really. And it's cool because they kind of get a reboot when they're trying to get the aliens, and but the aliens are smarter, and then, so they got to get better. And then when he dies, he gets a reboot every morning. And I was like, you know, Sunday's kind of like a reboot for me. You know, like I come to church and I'm like, doesn't matter what happened last week, last Monday, yesterday, doesn't matter. I come in and it's kind of like a reboot. I could just start over. I could just set precedence for the rest of my week right now, right in this moment. So that's kind of what I look forward to on Sunday. It's like my reboot. It's like the edge of tomorrow. That's pretty good. I could call Sundays the edge of tomorrow. I like that. I think that's what I'm going to do from now on. Sunday is the edge of tomorrow. How many need a reboot? Anybody? I know I do. I need right, Missy? No. Well, let's stand. Let's worship. Let's get your reboot on right now. You already know what it is.
my soul rests in your embrace.
This week, we were my kids and I were in our car going home one evening, and we were listening to the song Oceans. And all of us in the car were just singing those words, "Take me deeper." And just had this moment where I realized we were in the presence of God. And it's so cool, you know, all of these songs and that we sing here, we have the ability to enter into his presence with those same songs at any time. And just had this moment of gratitude this morning when we were rehearsing and this next song. And I was just raising, you know, sometimes when we practice, it's all about making sure everybody's hitting the right notes, which it is all about that. But I just began to worship him during rehearsal, thinking about that moment, and just overwhelmed with gratitude. And you know, more than anything, I want my kids to trust him the way I trust him. And you know, if we could protect our children from everything, they would never see their need for a Savior. So I began to sing this song, "I need you more, I need you more, I need you more." And just with such gratitude that I need him more, but he is always so faithful to be more, whatever I need. And he's going to be faithful to be that to my kids. He's going to be faithful to be that to you. And so I just became overcame with gratitude of his faithfulness and his goodness. And it's such a privilege to come into this house and to worship him and to enter into his presence and to sing these songs and to know that we are in his presence and we are worshiping him and that he is so good. His faithfulness continues to all generations. Amen.
I need you more, more than yesterday. I need you more, more than words can say. I need you more. I need you, Lord, more than the air I breathe, more than the song I sing, more than the next heartbeat, more than anything. And Lord, as time goes by, I'll be by your side, 'cause I know. More than words.
you more, more than yesterday. I need you more, more than words can say. I need you more. Oh yes, than ever before. I need you, Lord. Oh, I need you, Lord. You are so good to us. You are so faithful to us. And everything you do is good. All your words are yes and amen. You are so good. Lord God, for your presence, God. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and your goodness. We thank you, God, that you are our portion, that you are everything that we need, Lord, and everything that we need is within us, God. And we thank you, Jesus.
I trust in you.
Tasted and seen, I'm the sweetest alive.
praise you. We thank you for your presence and all your goodness and all your love and grace and mercy. Father, we thank you so much. We are so thankful that we are so full of you, and we welcome you here. And we are open to you. Open our hearts, open our minds. Open us to be ready for what you're ready to pour into us, Jesus. We love you. In your name.
Man, don't you wish you could sing like that? Just think if all of us could sing like that, what it would sound like. Wow. I guess when we get to heaven, that's what it's going to be like. Everybody's going to be able to sing. Even you, Joe, you'll be able to sing in heaven. It's harmonious and glorious. It's going to be a wonderful time. If you're visiting with us, and all, everyone, please fill out your connection card. Thank you for your obedience over the last several weeks and responding with the connection cards, helping us to stay in touch with you. We're updating our website and doing some new things. And if you're visiting for the first time, or if this is your second time here and you haven't received one of these, as you're going out the door, if you're a guest with us, you'll pick up a free Eagles Way tumbler. Got a personal letter from me in there that you'll really enjoy. Just thanking you for being here. And so thank you for being here. We're going on a youth trip this afternoon. First time I've been on a youth camp in a long time, so pray for me. We're going rafting, and last time I went rafting, I was the only one who fell out of the raft. Thought I was going to drown. Didn't. God spared me to go back again. But I want you to be in prayer. We're going to be ministering each night over your teenagers and your young people. And we're going to pray for them. We're going to bless them. We're just going to ask God to bring out the good stuff in them. And they come back better people than they were when they first left. So I want to share a couple of things with you before I introduce our speaker this morning, which you already know who she is, but I'm going to introduce her in a different light, in a different way. When God gave me, I felt this urge to do this summer series called Relational Wholeness. The moment God gave that to me, I knew I was not going to do all the messages. I really felt in my heart that I was to get different people out of this congregation to share, because this is a church that has been filled with relational wholeness. And God's really made that a priority in our lives. I appreciate the sentiment, and I appreciate the love, and I appreciate the words I've received from people. Well, you deserve to take time off. You deserve it. Thank you. I appreciate that, but that's just not why I'm doing this. I'm not doing it because I deserve it, and I'm not doing it because I need the rest. What I do is the easiest thing I do. It's easy for me to do what I do. So it's not laborious. Now, if I got up here and beat you up every Sunday, that's laborious. But it's not difficult to get up here and build you up every week. That's the easiest thing I can do, is encourage you and bless you every single week. So I want to compliment you. I want to exhort you of this is a wonderful church filled with stout spiritual people. And as Linda is coming, I want to thank her, and thank her for all of you ladies that have made Eagles Way Church such a strong church. Mm-hmm. That we have been blessed to have women that have stayed the course, women that have, if it wasn't for the women in this church, our counseling ministry would not ever have been to where it is today, where it was and where it is and where it's going. And it's all because of some very strong ladies in this church. There was a time, if you was a woman, you couldn't speak at this church. Now, you could speak, but not up here. I mean, you could talk out there and you could communicate, but our belief system was that was not God's order. But how many know that as you grow in God, you should grow in revelation of God? And we have done that. Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7, women keep silent in the church. 9 years later in Ephesians chapter 5, he said there's no male, no female, no bond, no free, that we're all one in Christ. Even the Apostle Paul grew. I know that's heavy for some of you, but that's just how the scriptures are. Right? So thank you, all you ladies. My daughter is where she is today, partly because of your input into her life and what you've done. And thank you for doing all that you've done. And God bless you. Relax, get up there, and just preach your little heart out.
Thank you. All right. Good morning, everybody. It is on. Can you hear me? Okay. It is exciting to be here and to share the word this morning. What I'm here to do this morning is to rally the troops. I am so grateful that I could come and share what's so funny that I've snickered all all week long when Pastor Buren called me and asked me if I would teach on our relationship to authority. Because many, many years ago, and we've been in this church about 30 years, I began to think about women and their roles in the church and thought, surely there's something else we're supposed to do besides look after the babies, teach the children, you know, have the bake sales, fix for the elderly, the sick, shut-ins, whatever. Because I knew that the word was in me, and I was growing, and I had a lot to learn. Oh, my goodness, I had a lot to learn. But so I would search the scriptures to see what the Lord had to say about where women fit in the church. And I would read books, and I would read things about how Paul really was trying to interpret what he was saying. You know, people would try to interpret. And so I kind of snickered this week because Pastor Buren had told me one time many years ago, he said, Linda, if you were not a Christian woman, you would be a feminist. And so I thought, well, maybe so. I don't know. Excuse me. But anyway, this morning I'm going to be talking about our relationship to authority. And I know that all of you watch television and part of social media, and you know what's going on in the world. You know the rebellion that you see. You know what's happening, and people are wanting to do their own thing, and is everything politically correct, and it's just a mess out there. And so I think the church is needing to really take a stand. They need to be taking a stand. Paul tells Timothy in the book of Timothy, said to be a good soldier for Christ. Be a good soldier for Christ. And so that's what I want to talk about today, is how are we going to be a good soldier? And so when I was thinking about this message, I thought about the centurion soldier. And if you'll put that scripture up in Matthew 8, it says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, Lord, my young servant lies in bed paralyzed and in terrible pain. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. But the officer said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come to my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed, because I know this, because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. And he said, he turned to those who were following him. He said, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. And I began to think, I need some water, somebody, please. I began to think, what is it that Jesus really saw in this centurion soldier? What made him say that he saw such great faith? And as I pondered it, I realized this centurion soldier, he was trained in obedience. He knew about submission to authority, and he knew his own authority. And those are the very things that we as soldiers of Christ, we need to to be trained in obedience, and we need to be under authority, understand how that works, and we also need to know our own authority. And so Jesus looked at him and, you know, just said, you had great faith. Sometimes I think that we as Christians, we come and hear the word of the Lord, and we just, thank you, Dusty, and we go home, and we don't really let it sink in and learn. And so we just have to be paying attention when we come and meet the body of Christ to hear what the word of the Lord has to say. The centurion soldier, their training was pretty rigorous. They learned how to march. That was the first thing they learned to do. And they learned that they had to be a tight-knit unit. Any stragglers could be under attack. Do you know any stragglers in the body of Christ that just kind of want to be on the fringe, not really committed, just want to be on the fringe, and they just kind of out there? They're open to attack. They're open to that world system out there. But the centurion soldiers, when they were being trained, they were a tight-knit unit. And they marched. And they marched. They were required to march 20 miles in 5 hours. 20 miles in 5 hours. They were trained in swords and spears. And their swords and spears were made of wood. And the wood was the ones they practiced with. They were made of wood, and they were twice as heavy as the proper weapons were. And so the trainers said if they could be proficient in the wooden swords and the wooden spears, then they probably would be very good with the proper weapons. They did the high jump. They did the long jump. They did... They wore their shields were made out of something they call wicker wood, and they were very heavy, and they would have to do all their running and everything with heavy backpacks. Makes me think about Jesus saying that his burdens are light, you know, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. But anyway, the training, he learned, that soldier learned how to be obedient, how to be fit, how to be trained. He knew the rules. And so when we look at our lives as soldiers of Christ, we need some training. We don't need to be what they used to, the term they used to say is sloppy agape. We need to be soldiers of the Lord. And so I don't want this lesson to be about obedience as much as I want it to be about submission. And I'm really taking most all of my scriptures from Ephesians, because Paul is saying that he was trying to tell us about our armor, about who we are, about that we're in a battle, and that we need to be fighting the good fight of faith. So just to give you a little bit of update about what Paul was trying to say and about us being soldiers. This is not on the overhead, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul says, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning. Boy, have we talked about that over the months here. Human reasoning, trying to think the way God would have us to think, that our thoughts and our actions and taking captive thoughts that are not right. So that's what we're doing, and we're going to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. I think Christians a lot of time shoot their own. You know, we don't draw people to God. How do people know us differently than the world? We need to be different. We're in God's army. So we capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. So in thinking about that, what kind of armor are we to have on? And what authority are we supposed to be submitted to? So if you would put up that scripture, Ephesians 6, Barbara. A final word: be strong in the Lord and the power and his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm. Watch those words, stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against the evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the evil time, and then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. We will have battles. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth, the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the enemy. So this is God's armor. This is the armor that we're to wear every day. And so Paul, though, before he says, finally, to put this on, he kind of tells us what this armor should look like. Should look like. And so in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 21 through 5, 1 and 2, that's not on your overhead. There are some things before we can put on God's armor and it fit properly. There are some things we have to put off. We have to put off. And in Ephesians in chapter 4, he says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. He said to stop telling lies. He said to, if you don't steal. He talks away about putting away anger and bitterness and resentment and walk in forgiveness. These are things that we need to do to have our armor fit us properly. Sometimes we want to wear our armor, but we don't want anything else in us to change. And that's not good. We have to change. So that's what we do. We put off that old self. We put on God's armor. And the thing is so exciting to me, it doesn't say anything about taking your sword of the Spirit and hitting anybody with it. It just says we stand. We stand firm in what we know. That's what we do. We stand because God says the battle is his. But we have to be that representative for our Lord. And so I get excited when I think about that it doesn't have to be that hard, because we can put off that old, we can put on our armor, and we can just stand in who Christ has called us to be. So to me, that's an exciting thing. So I had broken down like six different areas that I feel like that we need to be thinking about submission. And some of these have been covered in, Dusty covered some things about family, and Pastor Buren talked about marriage last week. So I probably will just highlight some things. But these were the different areas that I had written down that kind of affect all of our lives. The first one, the area of authority, the primary area of authority, is the Lord Jesus. Barbara, 1 Corinthians 1, 19 through 23. So, who does it say here has all ruler and all authority? Verse 21 says, now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. And God's put everything under God, under Jesus' authority. So he's our example, right? He's our example. And not that we do it perfectly, but he is our example. As a soldier, I know you military men here, when you were in service, you had to follow the orders. And so you did what you were told to do. But in God's army, Jesus has set a loving example for us. And so we just follow his example. We do things as best we can the way he would do them. We are wired for love. We're wired to do things his way. And so he is our commander-in-chief, so to speak. So we look to the Lord Jesus because he is our commander. The second area that I looked at was the church, and that's in Ephesians 4:11 through 13. And it talks about that God has placed apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers in the church for the equipping of saints for the work of the ministry. And in Hebrews, Paul says that your spiritual leaders watch over your souls, and they're accountable to God. You know, when we come here to see what God has shown our pastor on a weekly basis. We don't come here to be entertained. We come to hear the word of the Lord. We come to worship. And so our pastors and our teachers and our apostles and prophets and evangelists, they watch over our souls. The teachers in the children's church, they watch over your child's soul. They're teaching them and encouraging them and helping them. And so that's what we come for, is to learn. And we're supposed to go home and ponder what we've heard. The scripture says to test the spirit to see if it's from God. You know, so that's what we have in the church. We have our authorities in the church because they help us to hear from the Lord. They speak for the Lord. I know when Pastor Buren asked me to teach this today, several weeks before, I had started reading about the centurion soldier and pondering that. And every time the Lord does that for me, that's a time he wants me to speak. So I'm speaking today not because I, quote, wanted to speak, but I believe the Lord gave me a message to give to the church today. And so Pastor Buren called me later and asked me to teach this teaching. And so I feel like what I'm doing is I'm just obeying the word of the Lord. I'm doing what the Lord showed me to do. So anyway, that's why we have our church leaders. They're an authority that we need to be listening and submissive. The third area is, can't get my throat cleared. The third area is the family. And that's in Ephesians 5:21 through 6, 1 through 4. Pastor Buren talked last week, I'm sure, about marriage. So I won't get so deep in that. But the main thing it says in the beginning of that scripture is to be submissive one to another. You know, when I first began to really seek the Lord after Joe and I moved to Griffin, I started going to Bible studies. And of course, Joe was working really hard, and didn't have the benefit of doing all of that. And he was a Christian, and I was a Christian. But I had gotten to where I had been to so many Bible studies and heard so much that I thought I was spiritually more mature than he. And so that didn't work well in our house. It didn't work well at all. And Joe would try to tell me something. Well, I'd try to correct him. I'd try to say, well, no, the Bible says, or blah, blah, blah. And he would just kind of reject it. And it was very frustrating to me, and I couldn't understand why he wouldn't listen. But see, I was not being submissive. I was not letting the Lord deal with Joe. I was trying to be his Holy Spirit, and that just didn't work. And so one day, I stood in the doorway between my kitchen and my sunroom, and I said, Lord, I said, I give up. I said, I don't ask you to change Joe anymore. I ask you to change me. And so from that point on, I stopped saying anything. If I happened to disagree with maybe an attitude or a thought or something he had that I thought I knew better, I was just quiet. Or I'd say, well, honey, I know that you did what you thought was best. And it was not any time before the Lord just really touched Joe's heart. And he grew very fast in the Lord, which had taken me a long time to do. So just being submissive to one another, to appreciate one another, is just so important. It's your husband needs to be respected. And I was not respecting my husband. And so they deserve respect. And husbands, your wives need your love. They need to feel loved and cherished. And so I'm sure Pastor Buren probably covered a lot of those things last week. I happened not to be here. Another thing that it talks about in the scriptures that I just mentioned about honoring your parents. You know, you don't honor your parents because of their performance. You honor your parents because of their position. Not everybody has had the benefit of parents that had the wisdom to know how to do things God's way. And, you know, some people may be alienated from their parents. But you are so blessed to be in this place to learn and to grow. And if you have a parent that has not had the benefit of that, you should still honor them. You should still try to connect with them if it's safe to do so. Because the scripture says that if we don't honor our parents, things won't go well with us. And I know that that it's just so important that we honor them for their position, that we care for them. That's just very important. I think honor has been kind of a lost art. In a lot of places, it's just been people don't honor each other anymore. And so if you have a parent, you know, I was thinking about my own situation. Again, I've had the benefit of so much teaching and training over the years, the benefit of learning and growing from so many different people. Well, my parents, they went to a small little Methodist church in Norman Park, Georgia. They had one Sunday school teacher. They had a minister. But they kind of got the salvation message just about every Sunday, you know? And so I had the benefit of learning and growing. I want my children and grandchildren to learn and grow more than I have. But my parents didn't have even the wisdom about to handle certain relationship situations that I have. But my responsibility is still to honor them and to love them. The next part of that scripture is about parents, children obeying their parents. How many of you would be willing to raise your hand and let everybody see that you'd have been a lot better off if you had obeyed your parents when you were young. I mean, I know our teenagers think, you just don't understand. Or our kids don't understand. But really, when you look back, don't you think your parents were trying to protect you from some difficult situations? So obeying, children obeying your parents, it's for your protection. It is for your protection. It's not trying, they're trying to keep something good from you that you want. Boy, would I have done things a lot different if I'd listened to my parents. I'd have a lot of heartache that I would have missed if I had just listened to my parents. But no, I didn't. I was rebellious. So that's in the family, that's another area. And also, Dusty did such a good job. It was talking about parents, that fathers not provoking your children. Dusty did such a good job talking about rearing her children and how she's trying to listen to them and treat them like people. You know, bless my father's heart, he thought that you had children to help you work on the farm. I grew up on the farm, and he thought that's why you had children, you know. So it's so wonderful to know that we're teaching our children here that they have value and that they can be heard. And I remember one time when I began to learn differently about how to treat my children, which I didn't, you know, it was always, you just do what I say to because I say to do it, you know. I don't know who else has done that. And did not really listen to them. I remember my grandson Curtis, who will be getting married, came to the house one time, and he was so frustrated. It was after school. And he just was so frustrated and upset. And I said, Curtis, what's wrong? And he was upset with the teacher because of something she had said or done. And I listened to him, and I just said, Curtis, do you think maybe you could forgive your teacher? And we talked. You would just be so surprised. He just leveled out. He just was okay because he was heard. And I just think it's so exciting that what Dusty shared about, you know, just allowing your children to be children and letting them be heard. The next one is our community and workplace, and that's Ephesians 6, 5 through 9. And it talks about slaves and masters, which we don't really have today. I don't know whether Barbara's able to keep up with the different scriptures I've got, but anyway, you can write them down. But it was talking about slaves and obey your masters, and masters be good to your slaves. You know, in our workplace, we need some honesty and integrity. If you're hired for 8 hours, you need to work 8 hours. You know, we need to be on time. We need to do all of those things that we should do to submit to the authorities over us, to do the very, very best job we can, because it says that, you know, we're doing it as unto the Lord. And so that's why to submit to that authority. And that employers to be fair, fair with your employees and not be hard. You hear often about how ugly an employer can be to an employee. The way they can talk to them like they're somehow subservient and not very valuable. So in the workplace, there is an area to be submitted to authority. This one is really one that gets to me, that I'm just probably only going to be on my soapbox, but it has to do with the government. And it's 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4, and I'd like to read that. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. I don't know about you, but if you listen to the news and see the things that are posted on social media or even in a group of people talk about our president and our Congress and our Senate and all of the people that are in authority. Some of the most, I probably would have chosen someone different. But the thing is, like Dr. Ralph has taught us, you know, our words are so powerful. Because we may be building our nation with our words. Building our nation with our words. Our responsibility toward those in authority that are in our government is to pray for them. I was thinking about all the things about the police, you know, police killing people that are doing wrong, and then, you know, they say the police are too rough, and then we have the people over here that are committing crimes. Well, you know, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. You know, if crime is getting worse, the police are going to want to be rough. You know, they're wanting the police to be fair, but they want to do what they want to do. We have to realize that God has placed authority for our protection and our benefit, and to come down on our president or anybody else rather than pray for them. I mean, that you don't have to agree with them. I mean, you can say I don't agree, but we don't have to destroy their character. We don't have to destroy their character. Because I think, you know, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If we're speaking cursing and no blessing, how can we expect our government or our land to be any different? So that's an authority there. And last of all is Mark 11:23-25 is our personal authority. I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown in the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe you receive it, it will be yours. But when you're praying, first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins. We've had so much teaching here about our words, our thought life, about what we say, about we do create our world with our words. We create our world by downing ourselves, not realizing who we are in Christ. We say we're sick when God says, by his stripes you are healed. We say all these things that are totally opposite of to what God says. And see, we are the authority over ourselves. And our words are so, so powerful. And so we need to just be so aware. Because for those of you that are not familiar with Dr. Ralph's teachings, you need to hear them. Because they will really make you stop and think. Because we need to realize that just as God spoke the world into being with his words, we do the same thing in so many ways. And we can walk in blessing or we can walk in cursing. It's our choice. But I choose to walk in blessing. You know, bottom line about authority is that we're to submit to one another in love. This may have been even a dry message, but I just thought we needed to understand that we do need authority in our lives. We need all those different areas, and we need to be proactive. How does the world know us differently from them? How do they know? If church, the body of Christ as a whole, would stand and do these things, we would make a big difference in this world. Things would not be going the way they're going. There wouldn't be that much rebellion. You know, the terrorists want to take over because they want to be in control because they think they're right. And we can. It's not that we don't ever take a stand for anything, but it's how we do it. We do it in love. So let me encourage you, when you think about authority, think about this Roman soldier. And think about, what kind of training do you need? Do you need to know the word a little bit better? Do you need the word operating in your life a little bit better? Are there some people or some areas and things that you need to submit to? And are there some things that you need to just speak the word? Just speak the word. You know, there was no indication that this centurion was a disciple. That, you know, he may have just heard of Jesus and just thought, well, gosh, I've tried everything else. Maybe this will work to heal my servant. It doesn't say that he was a believer as such. But he had great faith because he was obedient. He had great faith because he understood a higher authority because he called him Lord. He understood there was something he couldn't do, but God could do. And he understood what it's like to have your own authority. So I just bless you today. And I know that it's kind of been heavy, but I just think it's something we need to really think about. And Pastor Buren's going to come, and we're going to have the sacrament of healing. And if you're hurting in your body or you have an emotional need, anything, come believing and expecting, and when you're prayed for, receive it. Receive your healing. Receive it. And don't keep asking God for it. Thank him for it. Let your words stand strong. Let your words stand strong. Thank you so much for letting me share. Thank you, Pastor Buren.
Thank you. I want you to stand. This is what I want us to do this morning for our sacrament of healing. And I want to go from where Linda has been talking about authority. And I was sharing with someone this morning, was just talking in the foyer. And they said, you know, they're in a place now that they can, if ever need them to go to the hospital or do something, they'd be glad to do it. And I told them, I said, you know, what's neat about that is 20, 30 years ago, if I didn't go to the hospital and pray for somebody, then they felt like they didn't get prayed for. And that's just not the way it is. Because everybody who's in the body of Christ has the authority. Jesus said in Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they would cast out demons. In my name, they would lay hands on the sick and they would recover. And I found out that my prayer life has changed from the standpoint of how I pray for people at times. And most of the time now, I pronounce things and bless things in their life instead of asking. Peter said it like this, silver and gold we don't have, but what we do have, we're going to give you. He came from who he was. He came from his authority that Christ had given him. And he said it in Christ's name, but he said, first of all, it's coming from us. So you have to realize you have that kind of authority. It's coming from you. And so if you're here this morning and you need a touch in your body, your soul, your spirit, I want to talk about finances in a moment, but I'm going to, before I do that, if you're here and you need a financial blessing in your life, whether it's spiritual, emotional, or physical, or financial, I want you to step out in the aisle where you are. And some of the believers who have the same authority that I have, going to lay hands on you and bless you. and pronounce a favor from God in your life, for whatever it may be. So you just step out in the aisle where you are and let some precious people with precious gifts and precious graces impart to you. And you'll be amazed at what will happen. You know, sometimes we just need a child to lay our hands on. I've never taken for granted a child blessing me and praying for me. It's one of the neatest things that ever happened to you. I don't know if it ever happened to you, but man, I had a child to ask, could they pray for me? What a blessing it was to hear that. So just step out in the aisle where you are. Let's sing this song and worship for a moment and let the Lord minister to whomever just needs that touch. Believe nothing is impossible. All right, I want you to sit down for a moment. Just play real softly. I'm going to ask our ushers to be coming. Let me tell you a revelation I got this week over our finances. I know when we sent out the letter, and I'm assuming most of you already got your letter, and we appealed to you about a month or so ago. It was about $10,000 for the year behind budget. We've fallen to about $17,000 last week. Now, I'm not worried about that. Now, that sounds alarming, but a budget's built over the year. So when you get in the summer months and you're just having to take money that you're going to be spending in November and spend it now, but we got to catch up with that. But here's what God spoke to me. I'm going to pray for you. Undoubtedly, this y'all ain't got no money. So I'm going to have to start praying for you. And so I'm going to pray for you this rest of this summer that God blesses you. Because if you ain't got money, you can't give. I learned a long time ago, you can't get blood out of a turnip, right? That's what I've been told. And so if you ain't got money, you can't give none. So I believe some of you ain't got money. Some of you don't understand the principle. But I want to encourage you, if you've never been a tither, start giving 1% a week. 1%. And then go to 2%. And as you do that, and you see the blessings of the Lord, you're going to eventually get up to where you ought to be. But you know what? Start somewhere. Start somewhere. You know, and if everybody in this church, just gave out of who they are and what they have, you know what? We'd be thousands of dollars ahead. We was able to do some stuff this year because the end of last year we had a surplus of money. So we spent $30,000, you saw in the letter, on things we needed to do. This building needed to be painted, that leaks needed to be fixed, plumbing needed to be done, and so we just had to do a lot of stuff. And I just want to bless you, and I'm going to commit to you as your pastor. I'm going to pray for you that God bless you and God increases you. God gives you a job. You don't have a job. And God just blesses your business. He just blesses everything about you. Is that cool? All right. If you now, all right, that's my part. I'm going to do for you. Now, when God blesses you, you're going to do your part and help me do this ministry. Okay. See, it's two-way. I pray you get blessed, and you get blessed. You remember where the blessing came from, all right? Okay. You see, I'm being dead serious. God's going to prosper you. You wait and see. God's going to prosper you because we're going to pray for it. We're going to bless you for that to happen. So, have y'all received the offering yet? We're going to bless that. But before we do, Howard, the Lord wants you to know that he's taking you to a higher level in every area of your life. You're going spiritually, emotionally, physically, every area of your life, you're going to go to he's bringing you into another level. When I just spoke to you briefly in the foyer, God spoke to me that he was going to bring me to another level. And as soon as I saw you, I just felt that impartation to give to you. And it's funny, I've been impressed by the Lord that I need to delve deeper into his word. And not that I don't do that, but I just want to do that more. And I saw a text yesterday, and you text about, you had these Schaeffer books. And Francis Schaeffer is one of my, I only have one book by him, but boy, he's an awesome, awesome guy. And the neat thing about it, David, is that your granddaddy ordained me. And there was a guy who was supposed to, who didn't. And I'll never forget when Thurman Fountain laid his hands on me. And he said, I want the fire of God to burn in you for his word like it burned in Jeremiah. And Jeremiah got to a place in his life one time, he said, Lord, I'm just not going to talk about it anymore. And Jeremiah said, your word became a fire in me. And I couldn't hold it back. And I said some things, a vow I made. I wasn't going to fight some battles, but it's a fire in me. And the word's going to come forth. And the truth's going to come forth because I can't hold it back because it's a fire in my bones. And I just can't hold it back. So get ready. Get ready. And let's just see not only one or two people coming to another level. How about everybody coming to another level? How about let's seeing everybody in this house come to another level? How about let's seeing everything in your life rise to another level? How would you like to know that in the next couple of months that every single area of your life is going to be raised to another level? And you're going to see some things and hear some things and be some things and say some things and just experience some things that you never, ever experienced, because there's going to be an authority of God that's going to flow through you. You see, you can't set my, His word will not return void, but it will accomplish what it's sent forth to do. And that's what I love about the word of the Lord. It will always accomplish what it's sent forth to do. You're not by accident here today. You're not sitting where you are hearing these words today by accident. You're hearing them because God loves you so much. He wants so much for you. And so you just allow God from this moment on to just take you. He'll never stop taking you as long as you're willing to let Him take you. As long as you're willing, He'll continue to take you higher and higher and higher. Nothing is impossible with God. And because of that, nothing is impossible with you, because God is in you. Amen. Aren't you glad you came? All right. I'm going to pray for you. Blessings start coming to you. But you're going to have to be responsible for them blessings. Return them back, some of it, to where you got it. Love you. See you later.